Thank you so much for joining us, Tori.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now, it's been a full decade since Vivid started, and you told me previously that you've been working on it for the past couple of years. How do you think the festival has evolved in your time working with Vivid?
So when it first started 10 years ago, actually, I was at the Opera House, so I do actually know its journey, and it's been incredible to see how it's grown and the numbers. But what I like about Vivid is that it, like anything, I suppose, you know, over time, over 10 years, you would expect it to evolve and change. And I think every year, new venues, new partnerships happen. So, like, for example, with Vivid Ideas, last year when I started, we introduced Vivid Art After Hours. So every Wednesday night for 3 weeks, there's free music, free art, activities, free talks.
Yeah, the MCA.
At the Art Gallery of New South Wales.
Yep. No, I remember.
So that's a different program. That's called Vivid Art After Hours. And this Wednesday night, we have Michelle Lawry, who's a great comedian and podcaster and author. She's one of multi-talented people talking about spirituality and how does she find time in her busy life to actually create space. And it's part of a bigger conversation around belonging and how people find belonging in I suppose what you could say is quite a sort of fractured world with technology. You know, it's bringing people together, but it's also pulling people apart. So that Vivid Art After Hours series, three Wednesday nights. We've got other people like Omar Musa, who's a great performance poet and a rapper, and Abdu Abdullah, who's a musician, an artist. We've got a Kenya as a musician. That series is completely new. So I'm just showing that as an example of how Vivid keeps evolving. I think every year there's something different. And I know that with the music program, it's been really lovely to see some of the smaller venues across town being used, like little barber shops and more sort of, you know, quirky venues as well. So it's not just always, you know, everyone knows about the Opera House and the fantastic music program at the Opera House. But now it's sort of spread, you know, all throughout the city as well, which is great.
Yeah, it's a lot of thinking outside the box or outside the house, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, would you be able to give us like a little, I guess, a sneak peek on what goes on behind the scenes? Like, how early does planning start for an event of this scale?
Well, if you ask me, not far enough in advance. started November 2018 and had to deliver the festival for May, June 2019, and that was really tight. This time around has been slightly better because I started in August, September, and obviously slightly longer. But really, I mean, you know, to tell the truth, these things are sort of year-round conversations because you ask speakers to come and they'll say, I'm really sorry, I can't come this year, but I'll come the following year. And it's just, you're always juggling, you know, who's available. And you're also trying to juggle the mix of speakers and the mix of acts in the program as well. So part of my job as a curator is to think about a theme. So for 2019, the theme has been very much around love, loneliness and belonging and its impact of technology on human relationships and behaviour. So people like Esther Perel, who I desperately wanted, I'm thrilled to say that we got her. She's an expert in modern love in the digital age, and she's a psychologist. Do you know her? Have you heard of her?
I actually can't say that I have.
That's okay, but she's got this beautiful podcast for people who don't know. It's called Where Should We Begin? And you actually listen in on couple counselling.
Oh, my God.
So it's incredibly intimate, and it's anonymous, so obviously yeah. Identify who they are, but she's brilliant. So if you listen in and you get this incredible snapshot of humanity and you get an incredible insight into relationships of all types or genders or orientations. She works with everyone. Anyway, so I was thrilled that she was available. But my point is that she could have easily said, sorry, I'm booked up. You know, I'm not available, but I'll come the following year. So it's an ongoing planning process, really.
Yeah. Of course. So, I mean, I guess in you saying that you wish you'd been able to start earlier, can we expect Vivid 2020 to begin the works immediately after 2019 wraps up?
Ideally, yes. I mean, ideally it should be happening now, but it's very hard to do that when you're in the thick of it. But ideally, yes, that would be the plan. But there's some things I've also introduced that are now annual, which is great, like the Mark Colvin conversation. We started that last year. That was the inaugural one. And then we've got it tomorrow night. And now we know that's an annual fixture. So that's Mark Colvin, who was a fantastic broadcaster, journalist, who's interested in music and politics. It's an annual sort of debate lecture in his honour. So we have Sebastian Smee, who's a very well-known Pulitzer Prize-winning author, critic, talking with Holly Throsby, who's, you know, a beautiful musician and also a writer, and Jocelyn Brewer, who's a psychologist. And they'll actually be talking about the pros and cons of a connected life. It's called Net Worth. We're so busy curating our lives online. What does it actually mean to our own sort of inner life? And do we spend enough time nourishing ourselves, or is it just all a bit too sort of outward looking?
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Very very deep kind of.
Well, very topical.
Yeah,
really.
Of course. Now, final question. I guess Vivid's the kind of thing that, you know, if you've gone once, you may go again, and there's a countless amount of people who will go to Vivid every year. But what would you recommend, I guess, first timers and perhaps tourists to check out while they come to Vivid?
Look, I'm completely biased in the fact that I love Pixar and I love Toy Story and like Inside Out and all of that. So under the Argyle Cut, which is this beautiful big archway in the rocks, you can lie down on AstroTurf and you can actually watch a whole tribute to animation that Pixar have put together.
Oh,
so
that's amazing.
It's an exhibition. Yeah, it's really beautiful. So that would be my pick. The Botanic Gardens are gorgeous. It's a bit slower. A bit more gentle, which I like, and obviously you get to walk through the gardens at night, which is lovely. The MCA is brilliant. It's Claudia Nicholson. She's a young girl who her whole thing is about sort of her cultural identity, her history, her relationships, and you can sort of see it played out large on the MCA. I mean, the thing about Vivid, as I said, is that it does change year by year, so there is always something new. But I think, yeah, I would just recommend that people hop on the website and take a punt. Try something different. And if you don't have much money, then come to Vivid Art After Hours because it's free. Or if you want to try some of the talks and hands-on workshops, you know, they're not wildly expensive. But, I think there's definitely something. You can find something new, and you can definitely try something new. You know, there's lots of literally practical workshops about, you know, how to make things, how to do things. So it really depends what you're into. But yes, if I had to say, you know, if you're a tourist to town and you didn't really know where to start, I probably would start obviously with the Opera House, the MCA, and then go to Pixar.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan for a night. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Tori.
Pleasure. There's lots of literally practical workshops about, you know, how to make things, how to do things. So it really depends what you're into. But yes, if I had to say, you know, if you're a tourist to town and you didn't really know where to start, I probably would start obviously with the Opera House, the MCA, and then go to Pixar.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan for a night. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Tori.
Pleasure.